This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled More Than Enough, and that's God's will for your life in every area of your life. So on the count of three, I want you all to say more than enough. Here we go, one, two, three. And that's God's will for you. 1 John, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse is actually going to be a new foundational text because we've been going on another one, but we're actually going to go with this one today because I really want to just push this whole faith thing and really want to talk to you about overcoming faith, overcoming faith. And the Bible says in 1 John 5 and 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it is my faith that's going to cause me to overcome. It is my faith that's going to cause me to get the victory. Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in his word. Faith in that he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass in my life. Now, we have to understand that just because we're saved does not mean that we are exempt from adversity. Psalms 34:19 teaches us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it doesn't stop there. But God makes a promise that he will deliver us, not out of some of them, but out of all of them. So you have to have an attitude of overcoming faith that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what it looks like, regardless of how I feel, I've got my mind made up, I've got my heart set that I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Everybody say, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. So Romans 1:17 says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how, class? The just shall live by faith. Notice it didn't say you live by the current economy. It didn't say that you live, you know, by what's going on your job. And we thank God when there's a good economy and you got a good job. So I'm not knocking that. But what we do is, as believers, we live by faith. So even, watch this, for us, those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, those of us who are king's kids, right? Even if they say there's a recession, because we're king's kids, we don't have to participate in a recession. You got it? And so, and that's not knocking anybody else, you got it, because we want everybody to learn the same thing. But I don't ever, there's never been, you know, in my 47 years of life when, you know, they started telling you on TV, and I don't watch a whole lot of TV because a lot of it puts fear into you, and that's just my personal thing. You do what you want to. But what happens is anytime they say, man, we are in an economic recession, well, that might be for the world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I operate in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, all of our needs are met according to heaven's best. So God will do whatever he has to do to take care of you as long as you hold on to the word and hold on to your faith. Does that make sense? All right. So when you begin to understand the fundamentals of faith, I like to call them the ABCs of faith. The A would be for ask. And the Bible teaches us that when we ask, we have to ask in faith, nothing wavering, right? The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So when you ask God, you know, Mark 11 teaches us that I have to believe that I receive the moment that I pray, right? And so you could even say the moment I ask, because that's what a prayer petition is. And so the moment that I pray, the moment that I go to God, I petition God, I believe I receive that moment. So once I get done praying, even if it hasn't changed in the natural, it's okay, because I know that watch this, I'm going to talk to you about it a little bit later, but there's not only a natural world, but there's a spiritual world. And the spiritual world is more power than the natural world. And I know the moment that I pray in faith, some things are triggered in the supernatural, in the spirit realm, that are, watch this, at work, that are going to show up in the natural in my life. Does that make sense? So you have A, ask, and then you have B. B is believe, you know, and that's when, you know, I could really teach in Mark 11 the whole day, right? And the Bible says that you have to believe in your heart, and that is the key, that I have to believe in my heart. You got it, that the thing that I prayed for according to God's word, that it's already a done deal in my life, right? If you've got a health challenge and you go to God and you start praying, you know, for it, and you know, and you're going, you're you're doing your part. I'm going to the doctor. I'm doing the natural side. I'm doing the spiritual side. I'm bringing them together, right? And the moment that I pray, I believe I receive that it's already done, right? I believe, watch this, not in my head, but I believe in my heart. Because your head can have a little bit of doubt from time to time, because sometimes the enemy will throw negative thoughts in your mind. But the key is, no matter what's going on in your head, because all them thoughts are going, and you do need to cast them out. We'll talk about that later. But as long as I believe in my heart, I know I'm going to be all right. Does that make sense? All right. So ask, A is ask, B is believe, C is confess. C is confess. All right. Faith cometh by hearing, and it is released how? By the words of our mouth, right? And so I've got to open my mouth and declare whatever it is I'm believing for, right? So you can make it with your mouth. Your miracle is in your mouth. You got to ask yourself, what am I saying? Am I talking doubt? Am I talking doom? Am I talking gloom? Am I talking unbelief? Or am I confessing God's word? Right? And you have to have a conviction that I'm only going to say what God's word says, and I'm only going to say what I want. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, you know, when in the very beginning, book of Genesis, the Bible talks about the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and it was dark and it was void, right? So God didn't look over, you know, and be like, oh man. Oh my me, because he couldn't say, oh my God, because he is God, right? Yeah, y'all will get that later. And so, you know, no, he didn't say, man, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. He didn't say that. No, he said what he wanted. And you got to learn how to start saying what you want. He said, let there be light. And what happened? Light showed up. You got it? And so you have to make it up in your mind that I'm only going to say what the word says, and I'm only going to say what I want. You can't pray for things that are against God's word. You got it? You praying for your husband, right? And then you see somebody else's husband. You can't have that husband. That's not God's will for your life. You got it. You better be careful. You might get shot. I mean, I hope you don't, but I'm just saying, you don't want to play like that. Right? Right? Because lady will shoot you. You mess with me. You mess with me. I'm just having fun. I'm just having fun. All right? Because first time friends be like, whoo, that man is a lot. Right? I just like to have a good time. All right? So, pray. Oh, Lord. Okay. A is ask. B is believe. C is confess. All right, letter D is demonstrate. Everybody say demonstrate. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Faith without works is dead, being alone. You got it? So you have to learn how to put some feet to your faith. You got it? You know, like if it's something, you know, if there's something going on in your body, you know, you can't just lay around in bed all day if you're able to get up. You know, you get up, you declare the word of the Lord, you put some clothes on. If it's not just taking a walk from the back door to the front door, you got it? Or from the steps to the end of the corner and come right back, right? You know, and every step I'm taking, I'm confessing the word of the Lord. I'm confessing healing over my life. Does that make sense? So because faith without works, God's going to do his part, but I got to do my part, right? And so, and then E is expect. E is expect. So you ask, you believe, you confess, you demonstrate, and then you expect. Expectation is breeding grounds for miracles, right? What you expect, you will experience. I'm telling you, I know that's true, because that's how Lady LaConte and I operate. You know, years ago when we learned this principle, we didn't have much at all, but we understood the ABCs of faith, that to the degree I would apply these in my life, it didn't matter what my circumstance was. It didn't matter if I didn't have resources. You got it? Because the Bible says, through faith we understand that the world was framed how? By the word of God, right? And so you've seen that, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay. The things that we see are not made of the things which do appear. So the Bible says that God shows up and there was nothing, and he made something out of nothing. You got it? It came from the words of his mouth, and we have the same ability and the same authority. Does that make sense? Now, when you begin to understand faith is a two-sided coin. You got acting on one side, you got believing on the other, and believing is key. Everybody say believing is key. Yeah, believing is key. Mark, the 9th chapter and the 23rd verse, this is absolutely one of my favorite scriptures. This scripture was one of the foundational scriptures for our ministry when we started the ministry. Didn't have nobody. You got it. Didn't know that, had never really been to New Bern. You got it. But the Lord told us to come, and I just knew it was going to be me and Lady and our kids and my brother Joe, his wife Janie, and their kids. You got it. And I knew it was going, you know, that's it, you know. And so, but I stood on Mark 9:23, and he says, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, Some things, that's right, shoot me down when I'm not talking right. A couple of things, yeah, depending on who's the president, it didn't, right, it says all things are possible to him that believe. So it taught me that possibilities for me are not defined in terms of human logic or intellectual reasoning. Possibilities for me are determined by how I can believe. If I can believe, it automatically becomes possible for me. It doesn't even matter if I can't find anybody else to agree with me. The Bible says I can get the Word of God to agree with me. You got it? And I can make it happen. I will agree with the Word. And so it doesn't matter if someone can't see your dream. It doesn't matter if someone thinks that your goal is too big, because it's not based on their belief. It is based on your belief. It's just with you and Jesus. You got it? That's why we don't push religion, but we push relationship. You got it? That when you have a relationship with Jesus and you start walking with him and talking with him and abiding in him and him abiding in you, and you start operating in this word and you start walking by faith, supernatural things happen. Does that make sense? God is a supernatural God. And I know people don't talk about that kind of stuff, but it's still true, right? Would you not agree, you got it, when he said, let there be light, and light showed up, that was supernatural. Isn't that right? And I could go on and on and on to talking about all the things that we've seen in the supernatural. And then even the other night at leadership class, we were talking about the different miracles that we've seen take place here at WLCC. When I went home, man, I couldn't sleep just because I was happy. You got it. Had plenty of peace, praise the Lord. And so, but I was thinking, oh man, we had this miracle happen and that miracle happen because we serve a supernatural God. Watch this. And to the degree that we believe, it becomes possible. You know, I remember when I wanted to be out of debt and I wanted to be a millionaire. I remember that vividly. We were renting a house. You got it? Didn't even own a house. We were just renting a house, right? And when you rent a house, I don't, maybe none of y'all ever rented before. Maybe all of y'all just, you know, you were just born with a silver spoon in your mouth and you got, you know. But what you have is, I don't know if you know this, but you have till the 5th of the month to pay it. And if you don't pay it by the 5th of the month, what's going to happen? Oh, some of y'all have rented before. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. And so what happens is I would need till the 5th of the month. You understand what I'm saying? And I would call my landlord. You got it? Her name was Stephanie. Her husband's name was Alex. He was an architect. You know, I'm not going to tell you where they live because that's private. But the reason I can tell you all these things, because this is a testimony and not a testifony, right? I would call her on the 1st. She's like, James, it's not due till the 5th. I said, no, it's actually due by the 1st. But the grace period is to the 5th. And my integrity is to be honest with you and let you know. We always paid it by the 5th, right? We always paid. But it was in that moment, you got it, we were driving a little Fred Flintstone car. I'm not going to tell you what the name of the car is because I'm not knocking the car. I'm just telling you our situation. But the car sat real low to the ground, right? So that's why we called it Fred Flintstone, because, you know, if I ran out of gas, you could just take the bottom out and we could and we just get where we was going, right? And so the car was so small that one day when I was watching some college football on a Saturday, and the lady's like, babe, come watch the car with me. I said, okay, babe, but let me just watch the end of the game. You know, it was only like 2 minutes in the end of the game, you know, in football, right? And so football goes pretty fast. It, you know, basketball a little bit longer, but 2 minutes is not that long in football, you know. And so when I got done, I walked outside. She was already drying. The car was so small, she sprayed it down, washed it. It was all over, right? But watch this. I understood, watch this, that my situation wouldn't change the word, but the word of God would change my situation. And to the degree I started believing and confessing and believing and confessing and believing and confessing and applying God's word, that anything became possible if I could believe. Does that make sense? Anything in your life becomes possible if you can believe, right? And so, you know, and I mean, you know, I, back in those days, I could see how people would laugh at me and those kind of things. You got it? But they ain't laughing no more. Does that make sense? Because I let my faith, I put my faith to work. And it worked out for me. I remember, man, I was trying to sow seed any way I could. All right? I'm off my script, but we're going to be back in a minute. Y'all all right with this? And so, only three of y'all all right with this? Y'all all right with this? Okay, all right, just make sure. And so, I was always trying to be a blessing to my pastor, you know, I'd ask him one day, hey, can I come to the church and wash your truck? And he's like, yeah, you can't drive it, but you can come wash it. But I wasn't going to let that try to get me caught up in a fence. You got it. I understood the power of a seed. You understand? And at that time, I didn't have a whole lot of money I could sow. So I figured service is also a seed, right? I was doing that, man. And I ain't lying. I started seeing God moving. No, you can't come wash my car. You got it. I'm not saying it for that reason, right? I won't even allow you to, praise the Lord. And so this is my story. And then I was like, well, man, I'm going to wash his wife's car, praise the Lord, right? And no, you can't go wash lady's car, right? and you know, but I'm cutting the grass at church. I'm cutting the grass at my pastor's house, you know. And I tried to get some guys to help me at the church. Them jokers wouldn't help me, man. They said, they're like, Mac, it's too hot out here, brother. We ain't doing that. And it's like, oh, okay, no problem. You know, and I remember guys thinking that maybe I was just trying to be a suck up, had nothing to do with that. I found some principles in the Word of God that if I would serve, if I would sow, and if I would sacrifice, I would see the supernatural power of God show up in my life. Watch this. And if I could believe, it would become possible for me. You got it. If you can believe, things become possible for you. And that's what I'm trying to show you. Biblical believing is totally different than secular believing. See, you got saved believing God's way. What way? What's that? Romans 10 and 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what's going to happen? You're going to be saved, right? And so let's do an exercise. I'm real careful on this exercise, but we'll work with it. Everybody just follow me. Everybody say follow pastor. All right. How many in the room believe in God? Raise your hand. All right. How many with your physical eyes ever seen him? Everybody put your hands down. Praise the Lord. All right. How many in the room believe in heaven? How many with your physical body ever been there? Put your hands down. All right. How many believe that when you get saved, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How many ever seen the book? Praise the Lord. So you just told me that you put your trust in a God that you've never seen to take you to a place you've never been, and you know that your name is already covered in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it shows me, watch this, that you know how to believe God's way. Just the way you believe for salvation is the way you believe for your healing, for your prosperity. Come on, somebody. For your next level, for your children, for your marriage. You believe the same way. Does that make sense? Look at somebody say, that young man is teaching up in here. You better be listening to him. Yeah. See, biblical believing is not mental assent to sense realm possibilities. We call that reasoning on tiptoes. You got it? It's almost like you're looking over the fence. If I can see it, I'll believe it. No. It is the ability to accept God's word as fact, even though I don't have any sense realm evidence. I haven't seen it, that nobody's given me a call. I haven't gotten the approval. Haven't got the email, but I still believe God. Matter of fact, I believe the moment that I pray. And the moment that I pray, God puts some things in motion. And as long as I stay in faith, it's got to come to pass in my life. It is having a confident assurance, you got it, not pride, not arrogance, but a confident assurance without intimidation from the sense realm. So I'm not moved by what I see, but only by what I believe, and I believe the word, all right? Everybody say, I believe the word. And that's why I tell people the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. That is not a critical statement. That is not a competitive statement. I love everybody, anybody. I always pray for every church that's been called by God, all right? Because there are some churches that ain't been called by God. I'm called by man. But every church that's called by God, you know, I pray for them and those kind of things. But I do believe the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. Being in an environment of faith around people of faith will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And you've got to know that that is the will of God for your life and that is possible, right? The Bible says that's why you should be happy that you have pastors that have worked the faith process and it's come to pass in their lives. The Bible says that we follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promise. And when you look at, and it's not just me and Lady, it's a lot of, you can look at leaders, it's a lot of people in our church, you got it like that, you got it, but everything does flow from the head down, right? And so what happens is you got to thank God. You can look at pastor and lady and they have a good relationship. You could tell they really love each other. You understand what I'm saying? We was on Saturday, we were talking to the furniture guy and he said something. He's like, well, it's okay. Y'all been in that apartment that long because y'all love each other. Like, he just knows. You got it. I'm trying to figure out how much stuff is lady just looking at me with googly eyes. He knows. Praise the Lord. And so you got to, what'd you say? Praise the Lord. All right. I love that girl. God knows I love that girl. I do. I love that girl. When, in the early days, in that same house when we were renting and we were living paycheck to paycheck, I made a commitment to God that if he would bless me, I would do certain things, right? And I would be a blessing and those kind of things. But I made it up in my mind that, Lord, if you bless me, I will take care of sister girl all the days of her life. I'll make sure she don't want for nothing in my lane, because we all got lanes, right? Yeah, but in my lane, I'll make sure that she's happy. I'll treat her good. I'll be kind to her. Won't do nothing crazy to her, you know. And I've always kept my word, praise the Lord, from that day to this day. Amen. Yeah, and you know, she used to bring her check home every Friday and give it to me, and we deposit and paid all the bills, you know, and she never complained about it. Now, she knew I was doing the right thing with the money, you got it, but I'm sure there was some Fridays she wished she could have taken that check and did something else with it. But watch this. But we understood process. You got it? That everything about God is a process, that things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. That is why the writer says, impatience possess ye your soul. And so she understood, and I understood, it ain't always going to be like this. We ain't always going to live paycheck to paycheck. We ain't always going to have to go to the little buy here, pay here place to get this and that. You got, one day, we just going to be able to write the check and just pay the whole thing off. You understand what I'm saying? But watch this. That's only to the degree that you believe it becomes possible for you. Does that make sense? When you give, man, I'm trying to stay with my lesson, but when you give, the Bible talks about when we tithe, this is something powerful that a lot of times we overlook. He says, I will open up the windows of heaven, right? The windows of heaven are not literal dollar bills that are going to come out that you're just going to look up in the sky one day and you see them falling. You're trying to grab all you can. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No, that's not what that is. You got it. The windows of heaven are inspired ideas. You got it. The God will give you the wisdom, you know, on things. He'll give you some favor. He'll help you figure out some witty inventions. You got it? And watch this. The windows of heaven is what really did it for us, because God gave us a lot of ideas. You got it? And if you'll focus on it, right? If you're a giver, you got it. If you're a consistent giver, if you'll focus on it, you will see that God will begin to give you wisdom. He will begin to give you inspired ideas. He'll cause favor to open up. But when he gives it to you, you got to act on it. Because if you don't act on it, it's not his fault. Does that make sense? That's why you have to have the faith to act on it and to see it through so you can see it show up in your life, all right? Give the Lord a big hand praise. All right. And so you just, I don't know which way to go. Don't say that. 2 Corinthians 10:3. All right? So the battle really takes place in your mind. Where does it take place? In the mind, all right? There's a battle that constantly takes place in our mind. Every day we are at war because Satan attacks us with thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. But victory is assured. What did I just say? That's right. Victory is assured when you align your thoughts with the word of God, regardless of the circumstances that you're going through, all right? He says, for though we walk in the flesh, he said, we don't war after the flesh. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are houses of negative thoughts that reside in one's mind, all right? They typically come from the enemy or doubting people. This is what he teaches us to do in verse 5. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself, watch this, against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the Bible teaches us that we got to cast those things down. And so what you do is you cast it down and you replace it with the word. And here come the devil again with a negative thought. I cast it down, I replace it with the word. Here we come with another negative thought. I cast it down, I replace it with the word, all right? And so I've got to understand that because the enemy will, if I don't, he'll work overtime and send so many negative thoughts to your mind that try to cause you to get stressed out, try to cause you to get depressed. Anytime you're starting to feel that way, starting to feel heavy, you got it. You need to regulate what's going on in your mind. Does that make sense? And one thing that I always do is I just confess the word of God. That's what I do. I just confess the word of God. And so, you know, and if you, I don't got to memorize. That's okay. You got a Bible. You got it. Open that Bible. You got the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When you get done with that one, where else should I go? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green. Right? You got, when you don't, where do I go from? Psalms 121. I will lift my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. All of my help come from the Lord, which made the heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon thy right hand. That you got it. You know, and the enemy shall not smite me that day, nor the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve me. So he's keeping me from all evil. He shall preserve my soul, my mind, my will, my imagination, my motion, and my intellect. Right? You got it. He will preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What does that mean? Anywhere I go, he's given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways and in my pathways, life and not death. Does that make sense? Y'all brothers, bring me those two chairs and bring me my tissue boxes, all right? We got to get out of here. I got it. Y'all got time for a demonstration? Okay, all right. So, put up Colossians 1 and 16. Put up Colossians 1 and 16. All right. So we're going to take that. We're going to take one off. And then let's do like this. Hold on, Melvin. Let me find my middle. You know, I got issues. That's my middle right there. Is that my middle? That's about middle. All right. And then let's put them on the floor. Put them on this side of the floor. Thank you, Ron. All right. Oh, you good, Doc? All right. Give them brothers a big hand. Some of you have seen this demonstration probably in years past, but I want to show it to you again. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Everybody say visible.
Visible.
And invisible. Okay. So visible is this natural world that I can see. Invisible is the spiritual world that I cannot see, all right? Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, all right? So the Bible teaches that we have two arenas, that God created a visible and an invisible world, a natural and a spiritual world, and watch this, the invisible is more real than the visible. All right? The visible is dependent on the invisible. Or let me say it like this. The natural is dependent on the spirit realm or the supernatural. All right? It's important to understand that. Watch this. Because just because I can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. Right? Was I there? Could you see me?
No.
Does it mean I was not there?
No.
And you got to understand that, because just because you can't see your victory, just because you can't see your breakthrough, just because you can't see the end, doesn't mean it's not there. Does that make sense? Because there's a natural world that I can see, but there's a spiritual world that I cannot see. And then watch this. And the natural world over here, even though I can't see anything, is dependent on the spiritual. And everything I got to calm down. And everything I will ever need, watch this, is already made in a raw material state for me. All right, Ephesians 3:1, does it not say, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, everybody say hath. Yeah, what's that mean? It's already done. He's already done. He hath, can I just say hath already? He has already blessed us with
all.
With what?
All.
With what?
All.
What does all mean?
All,
right? Means everything you can ever dream of, you got it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above him, all that I ask or think, right? Well, this scripture says he's already done it. And watch this. He's already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember, when God started, he started with your end, and he backed up to your beginning, because he declared your end from your beginning. And watch this. And the omniscience of God already knew every decision you would make, everything that would happen, and everything that you would need, and he's already made it. So when Jesus said it was finished, it was finished. Does that make sense? And so 2 Corinthians 4 and 18 says, while we look not at the things which are, but at the things which are. So I'm not looking, watch this. It doesn't matter about what I see or what I don't see. right? He says, for the things which are seen are temporal, meaning that they're subject to change. But the things that are not seen are eternal, they are everlasting, all right? So this is what happens, all right? Let me show you. When you are not saved, right? So this over here, I'll just put that up there so you'll know. This is the spirit world, okay? This is the invisible world that you cannot see. Over here on this side, this is the natural world. You got it, that most people live in, that most people abide in. They only think what they can do. Their whole goal for their life is only based on this side, right? Now, if you're not saved, you'll know about that no ways. But unfortunately, there are people that are saved, have given their life to Jesus, and they're still over here just fooling around with the natural, right? But you have to understand that the position that God has always assumed from the beginning was he was not just on this side, definitely. Oh, he was just on the spirit. He was not just on the spirit. Pastor, what are you talking about? This is the position that God has always assumed, that he could see what was in the spiritual and he could always see that was in the natural. You got it? So he had view of both sides, because to be one-sided means my faith may not work. But anytime, watch this, I understand that when you got saved and I got saved, our spirits became alive to God. And now the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this earth. So now I assume the same position that God has. I can see not only in the natural, but I can see in the spirit. And so I know he's already blessed me with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when I don't see what I need in the natural, I don't get upset. Because when I need joy, I call joy, because my joy is over there. When I need peace, I call peace, because my peace is over there. When I need increase, I call for increase, because my increase is over there, because he's already blessed me with everything that I will ever need. Everything you need, it's already done. It's in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And to the degree you say, Father, I come to you, and you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. You got it. And your word says you've already blessed me, right? And now you start declaring whatever it is that you need. And as you speak, you ought to, in your mind, see that stuff is making a transfer from the spirit realm to the natural in your life. So don't tell me you don't got peace, because peace is over there. Don't tell me you don't got joy, because joy is over there. Don't tell me you ain't got no money, because money's over there. Don't tell me you can't go to the next level, because next level's over there. Everything you will ever need, oh my God, today. Everything you will ever need. We don't serve some little 10 can God who's a million miles away trying to say, well, after I get to use any girl, then I'll go over to you. No, we don't serve a God like that. We serve a God that's big. Watch this. He says, I've already done it, and I've done it at once. Right? So he, watch this. So, see, here's the thing. If we're not careful, we feel like we got to stand in line. Come on, somebody. That I got to stand in line, and I'm counting down to see. I was talking to Jay the other day, and Jay was at Starbucks in California, and he said, ooh, this is a long line. But, you know, he figured I'll call Dad. I'll waste some time, make the line go down, right? And so we talked about 20 minutes. I said, bud, how close are you? He said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He said, Dad, I got 6 more cars to go. See, in the kingdom of God, there is no 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In the kingdom of God, all your needs are met now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So your faith is now, and your evidence is your faith. So if you're in faith, it's already there for you. Now you just start, watch this. When the moment you ask him, you believe you receive, it's already done. You don't have to go and ask God again. Now you just start thanking him. Father, I thank you for my increase. I thank you for the next level. I thank you for debt freedom. I thank you for more than enough. The wisdom you need, it's already there. The witty ideas you need, it's already there. Everything you need from God is already there. You just got to make it up in your mind. And understand, this is the position I am from this day forward. I will never just be over here. I will always be like this. And anytime I need it, I'm going to speak it. And it's got to show up in my life. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Let's stand up all over the building. Y'all ready to go home? Oh, well, that's good. That's good. That's good. You ain't got to go home, but I'm about to be done. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you come to an amazing church? I'm telling you, man. And don't let anybody, Paul tells you to don't be fussing with folk who want to fuss about WLCC. Don't love up on them. You got it? They talk bad, just love up on them, because hopefully one day they'll change their mind and they'll show up. You got it? That's what you do. Don't be fighting. Pastor don't need nobody to fight for, because you'll hear stuff. You'll hear that we asked for 1099s. The devil is a lie. W-2s, whatever. You got it. You got it. You know, that's that prosperity mumble. No, anything Pastor teach you is in the Word of God. He became poor that through his poverty you might become rich. That is the original translation. You got it, rich. The word rich just means abundantly supplied. Who doesn't want to be abundantly supplied? Yeah, somebody came to me a long time ago, a pastor. My lady told me, I need to leave your church. You're talking about being rich. Everybody can't be rich. That ain't even God's will. That ain't even possible. That's what the Bible says. And maybe your mentality is wrong, but the word rich just means abundantly supplied. And it's the order of God for you to be abundantly supplied in every area of your life. Why? Not just money. Yeah, that's included, but I need more than enough peace. This crazy world we live in, you got it. I need more than enough peace. Come on, somebody. I need more than enough joy. That way, if I get around someone who's a little down, I got enough joy for me and I got enough joy for them. So this all more than enough, you got it. Don't let people twist you thinking they just talking about money. Y'all know we don't even do that. But you got to keep your focus and say, no, he's the God of more than enough. And he wants me to have more than enough. And to the degree I believe, it becomes possible for me. You got it? All right. We reverse the reports of men by rehearsing the promises of God. All right? We reverse the reports of men by rehearsing the promises of God. We're going to make this confession. We got ice cream today? Yeah, we got ice cream. Then we're going to go outside and eat some ice cream. All right? You got it? Well, I'm eating healthy. Well, just hang out with us. All right? Hang out with us. All right? All right? Or take the ice cream cone and just see it as a banana. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I'll just laugh. All right. All right, here we go. Repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I overcome every situation with overcoming faith, because I know my supernatural future is at stake. Thank you, Father, for the courage and the wisdom to see beyond the limitations of the natural realm into the realm of the spirit, where my help comes from. I repent from moments of murmuring and complaining, and I make a covenant with my mouth to speak only those things that release angels to go to work on my behalf. I declare every delay will work in my favor. I declare every setback will be a setup for something greater. I declare my circumstance can't circumvent my blessings. I declare favor is on every side, chasing me down. Weapons may form, but they will not prosper. I might bend, but I will not break. I declare that the winds of change are blowing in my direction. I declare no more delay. I declare no more distraction. I declare that every satanic assignment from the enemy has been halted in my life right now. Right now. Right now. I decree it. I declare it. It is so in Jesus' name. Now shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It's done. It's done. It's done. Well, are you glad you came to church at 10 o'clock in the morning?